Now, beginning with chapter 2 here of 1 Peter through chapter 4, I've labeled this section Suffering and the Suffering of Christ. I probably should say the suffering of the saints and the suffering of Christ. That is the suffering of God's children. Now, we see here in chapter 2 one of the accomplishments of the suffering of the saints. First, he mentions here in chapter 2, it produces separation. And we are going to see here now what real Bible separation is. Now, there's always a danger when we talk about separation or living for the Lord. There are two extreme viewpoints, and both of them I consider very much out of line with Scripture. One of them, it says that human nature is such that all it needs is just new direction. All it needs is just to be given a purpose. All it needs is just a little reformation. And in the estimation of these folk that take that position, there is nothing radically wrong with human nature. Therefore, you don't have to do much to it. Just make a little alteration here in human character and conduct. And when you've done that, why, you've gone a long ways. And then if you can just awaken the individual to the marvelous energies and his intellectual and moral nature, then he'll be able to go places. Now, that's one viewpoint. That's what it means to live the Christian life. Now, on the other hand, there are some today who think that the change, when you're born again, that you have that which is supernatural, and I agree with that. But now, to live the Christian life just seems to mean that you just sit down and do nothing, and that you're not involved in this at all, and that God's going to do all of this for you, and you can just sit on the sidelines and become a very pious individual. And some of them folk in that class sit on the sidelines today as pious as a puffed-up frog, and they never seem to really grow or develop or really become loving, full-orbed, normal Christians. Now, I think this passage that we're coming to here is going to make it very clear that you and I, through the new birth, and that's what he talked about the last time, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Now, you have a new nature, and you're to live in that new nature by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have been brought into a loving relationship, which he had mentioned to us before. You remember he said, "Whom having not seen, ye love." Simon Peter saw him and loved him, and you and I haven't seen him, but the Holy Spirit can make him real to us, and we can love him that way. You remember, I'm sure many of you remember when you were born again and how sweet and wonderful it was at that particular time. It was wonderful then, wasn't it? Paul said to the Corinthians, and they had become very carnal Christians, he said, "I espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ." That first love, that honeymoon love, and now it seemed to be gone. And that's what God had said to his people before the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah in the second chapter said, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown." When they first came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, Oh, you read that song there, the song of Moses that they sang there, praises to Jehovah. But wasn't long till they became complainers. And God says, I remember that. Now today, real separation rests upon the fact that you've been born again. You have a new nature. And now you're in love with Christ and you want to please Him. And the great object, I think, before the heart of God at the present time is to have a people saved, not only from judgment and the lake of fire, but saved from the world. Saved not only for heaven by and by, but for the heart of Christ right now. The work of Christ on the cross, I think, has settled every question that sin has raised between God and our souls, and the future's bright with glory, the glory of God. And we've been brought into the value of that work of redemption. And we have now been born again. And no one can affect that. Satan can't touch that at all. But my friend, how are we doing down here today, this season of the year? What does Christ mean to you? Is all in the world Christmas going to mean to you just that there was a little baby born in Bethlehem? Or have you been born and become a child of God? Now he's going to open this section by talking about separation, what actually I think really that it is. And we're going to talk about another little baby, and that little baby is going to be you, and it's going to be me.